Yo, son.
One ep is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Get it?
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One ep is life.
Hey, Sife, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
Oh, no. Sife?
I'm extremely sick, bro.
Yo, I told you Thursday that you sounded like ass, didn't I?
Well, you always say that, but
how do you know what ass sounds like? That shit's fucking terrible.
Yeah, why you put your ear to ass, bro? Why you put your ear to ass?
All right, you know what? Well, Clark Kent has already ruined his introduction. He's jumped in because the Brooklyn in him can't allow me to get away with saying something so crazy.
So flagrant.
Clark, what's popping, man?
Hey, brothers. It's good to see you guys again.
Clark Kent.
Yes, sir. The DJ. Man,
God's favorite. DJ Clark Kent. Thank you so much.
God's favorite DJ. So, you remember this? You remember this? I remember this. Remember this? Hold on. Let's see.
Oh.
Yo, what's up? Yeah. You ready, sir? Clark Kent, one time.
Oh. 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 When I met you. Whoa.
Woo. Pause. Yeah.
Did you say pause?
Talk to me about flavor.
This is pre-pause era. But did you say pause?
Yes. Because we made up that version in my house, and every time we had to run through it in my mind, while he's doing it, I'd be like, pause.
Did anyone ever say to Big, like, I'm gonna be honest, bro, suck on her daddy's dick is nuts, bro.
I said it enough times, but like, you know, they didn't adapt the game the way that we had it already.
I'm glad it needed it.
You invented that routine with Big,
yeah.
That computer love.
Yeah, enough told us that. Yeah. Enough told
because
us that.
That's the routine that got the water bottle thrown at Big Cap.
I don't think that's the routine. I think the record jumping and being at the wrong speed is what got the bottle.
But I don't know if you happened to hear enough when we had him on the pod. But enough was saying that when he came on, you had already developed that. When he came on to start DJing.
Developed the whole show.
Yeah. So yeah, you'd already had the whole show worked out. He just kind of had to jump in.
Yeah.
And you left, you'd moved around because you were just busy producing. Was it that point?
I stopped doing shows with him because we came home from a trip and then Andre was like, Andre Harrell was like, I want you to be senior vice president over at Motown. And I was like, well, okay, I can't go back on the road. So
yeah.
I had to tell him and, you know.
Did you have FOMO?
No, not. I had been on so many tours at that time. Like for me, it wasn't like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. For me, it was, I've been doing this for a long time. Like my first tour was 19 years old.
And which tour, what year again?
Long time ago.
long yeah. time. What artist?
Dana Dane.
Oh, yeah, right, Dana. That's
Dana
right.
Dana, Dana Dane's DJ, yeah.
Here's my problem. So here's crazy, my issue. Mark. My problem is we did an extensive, dope-ass interview with Clark Kent when we had our short stint of One Ep over at Mass Appeal,
mm-hmm.
where we did a whole series about Jay-Z, and Clark Kent gave us a great interview. And the problem with that podcast was the producer would just take pieces from a great interview and make a podcast out of it. So we got a lot of things from you that was never heard before so long ago, and we don't have the full version. The producer took it, and we never got it. So I've heard you say things on other podcasts after ours that you broke on our podcast, which made me very upset. Like, the main thing that made me upset was when you talked about the way you recorded Brooklyn's Finest. You're on the hook that right. We didn't realize. Was it Jay had his parts and left blanks for Biggie?
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Yeah.
Even the transitions.
Yeah. You know, and then the certain word. Like,
Jay gave the transitions and then big filled in. Yeah.
No, Sife, by the way, are we sure we can't find that? Because I don't know that I can live with us not being able to get it.
You've tried. The only person I haven't hit is that actual girl that was the producer that might have it.
But she hates your guts, is what you're saying.
She hates your guts.
You think she hates me more than you? I think she hates you more than me.
I don't know if it's more. I think she hates both of us.
Why would anybody hate you guys?
Well, Sife's a dick. That's me. You're right, Clark.
I'm not a dick, Clark. I'm like you. I'm straightforward New York.
You heard that, right?
I'm not a dick, Clark. You know how when sometimes you're in the studio and people annoy you and you speak straightforward New York style, like it comes across as harsh to outsiders.
I can understand.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm like, yo, we ain't got time for all that. Excuse me.
Clutch pearls.
I'm offended.
Now, I have to say, I felt like a little bit of a hip-hop ignoramus when I didn't realize it was you on Brooklyn's Finest.
It sounds like me.
I know. Well, that's why I just... Sife, did you know? Were you aware?
No, when he told us... Once you say it, you can hear
it differently, yeah.
Right, but I didn't, at the time, I just thought it was a random voice.
I wish it was.
Why?
Because in our crew, there was an agreement, and it was that I was never going to be a rapper. And I was like perfectly fine with that. But then all of a sudden, I'm rapping a hook, and I had to hide it from him. Yeah, I did. Like, I literally had the engineer trying to change the way that my voice sounded because I knew I was going to get fucking destroyed.
Yeah, but a lot of producers talk on records. Pete Rock.
Yeah, but that was never my thing. And definitely wasn't gonna rap, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I had to sit there and write the hook and then perform the hook and then hopefully they think it's okay so it can go out the next morning, you know.
That's so funny that you felt like you had to like keep it a secret because you didn't want to get clowned for being on what went on to be iconic.
Dame was in the studio with me all night. And he watched me write it, figure it out, go do it. And we were both like, we can't tell nobody. And then the next morning, right after we mixed the song, it was morning time when we finished mixing the song. He has to go to mastering with it. And Jay and Biggs and all of them are at mastering. And they play the song. And I mean, they like it. And then he never says nothing to them. And then later on, at some point, I get the, yo, who is that on the? And I was like, yo, some kids from outside. And then Dame was like, nah, that was Clark. And automatically, yo, you ain't no fucking rapper. You can't be
That's
doing
Jay,
this.
Right?
Like, dog, the shit is done already. You liked it. It's mastered. It's already into the album. Like, what are we doing here? But like, I got crucified.
I never wanted
to do it again.
Are you the first voice at the beginning of the record too?
Yes.
Let's hear. Let's see if I hear a new one.
Jigga, bigger, nigga, how you figure?
Even that goes Jay.
Yeah, me too.
But it's that sounds more like me than the hook.
Yeah, it does. That sounds like. So what do you say exactly? Are you just calling Jay-Z? You just calling Biggie bigger?
Yeah, I went. Jigga, bigger, nigga, how you figure?
Yo, you are a rapper, Clark.
No, that's
bars right there. That's bars right there.
No.
Yo, Clark the Spark.
Wait. Tap into something?
Like, where'd you get that from?
I just made it up. I just made it up.
We'll leave it right there.
Off the record. What, they used to be in Clark the Spark?
No, there was a song. There's a song that me and Jay made called Spark with Clock. I mean,
oh yeah, shit,
Spark with Clock.
What happened?
What's
to that
song? Where's that? Yeah.
It's actually a song about me.
What?
Yeah, about me being a DJ and being his DJ.
Where's that?
That's hidden.
Why? Put it out.
Nah.
And you you legitimately have access and know where it is, or you know it's
out. I have it.
Are you in the room with it right now, legitimately?
I own it, yeah.
What beat is it?
It's a beat that I made.
Any sample that we would know? What was it? Did it turn into something else?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question.
No.
No, so it's just that.
That's one thing with the songs we made. They were the songs we made. You know? Yeah. They didn't like turn into something else.
Do you look back at your career in, like, is it broken up by eras and what you were doing in specific times? Like, do you look at the Dana Dane very early era as one thing and the Biggie J era as a different thing? Or at this point, because you've lived so many lives in hip hop, you're Forrest Gump. I mean, I know we've thrown that around at a couple other people, you know, that have really lived a million lives, but you really have lived a million lives in hip hop. Do you see it like all just as one?
I see it as climbing some steps. You know what I'm saying? That's a step to get to the next step, to get to the next step, to get to the next step.
Right.
I think because I've never given up the one thing that I believe got me there, I believe it's just one era. I started with the DJ. I will end up as the DJ. All the other stuff is just stuff that happened, benefactor of me being a DJ.
Damn,
what's wrong with that?
No. I'm looking at my own life of how, like, the last couple of years I've been back into DJing, but there was a time where I wasn't DJing at all. And it feels very awkward to me to not be DJing.
That's one thing I will never stop doing is DJing. That's the reason why I became a producer. It's the reason why I've worked with record companies. It's the reason why I became a sneaker junkie. It's the reason why I was given the ability to work with the brands is because of the DJing. That's the base of everything that I do.
Yeah, me too. And I would love one day if you see me do my comedy show where I DJ doing stand up.
Really?
Nobody's ever done this.
Yeah,
nobody's ever done this.
Well, you do a full set while DJing? I don't even think I knew this.
Yeah. I have my DJ set on the stage and I make jokes and then I have music stuff that goes with it. Or if anything happens in the moment, like if some guy's like, yeah, I'm from New Jersey, I might play a Bon Jovi song or Naughty by Nature. You know what I mean? Like all in the moment and it sparks more jokes.
What was the longest period you ever went without DJing? Was there
me?
Ever?
Or him?
No, not you. No one cares. I mean, Clark.
Never.
Never?
Never. It don't matter what I was doing, I never stopped DJing. Like, to me, I think I would not be able to be effective in anything else that I was doing if I stopped DJing. I got to play.
And when you say you got to DJ, does that include, do you mean only out? Or you mean like, it could be
I
radio?
I never quit playing out.
Right.
When I was on the radio, I was playing out. When I was on tours, I was playing out. When I was in the record companies, I was playing out. To me, I couldn't be sharp in a record company if I wasn't playing.
What do you enjoy so much about playing out?
I love music. You know what I'm saying? I really like playing because I love music. My love for music is the reason why I can play as well as I play. It's not the skill set. It's the way that I care about music. Mm. Do I have a good skill set? Sure, I do. But the way I care about music is the reason why it just comes off.
You never get tired of music?
No.
Somewhat. Or what about are you a little frustrated with the new music?
No, because I believe every song comes from another song. So something spawned all of the stuff that you may have a problem with. So I have to still respect it in a certain way.
Yeah, that's right. I had a lot of trouble.
I might not think some records are for me, but I can look at it and go, okay, I get it.
Yes, I see that. Yeah. My towards the last couple years of Hot 97, the music that was coming out was not inspiring to me, and it led to me not loving it as much as I did. And now I'm back.
See, there was a time. I would look at the things that you might not think were as good and use it to inspire you to do something to make it better. So I never lost the inspiration based off of something that was bad. Actually, I was like, oh, if that's bad, I'm like, well, we got to do something to get it right.
Or to find stuff that's good or something.
Right.
That's the only way I've ever survived, because I'm dreading the day when they decide, let's play a game during the morning show and just stop whatever song is playing and ask Rosenberg what song we're playing, because I will not know. I mean, like, until the artist is like now Ice Spice, right? Easy. Boom. Okay, great. Especially when we got to the real throes of for lack of a better word, mumble rap. Like when we've gotten to like differentiating between a Dirk record and someone else who's like Dirk adjacent, I might be completely lost. It doesn't bother me that much though, because that's not what I play. I just think of it as like almost like hearing a genre. Like I go out and hear a DJ playing another genre. I never felt bad that I didn't know techno records. Like it didn't mean anything to me. I still watch clips on social media of watching DJs do what they do in that world. Mm-hmm. And I don't identify with it at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's not even a diss. It's just like, you know, when you see those cats who are standing up on the turntables mm-hmm. with 100,000 people and they're really just seemingly rocking along to the song they're playing. Yeah. It's just, to me, it just looks like something else that I don't, it's just another part of the culture that I'm not a part of.
I get it.
Is there anything you don't play or that you would prefer not to play?
No.
So on a given night, you could catch you playing full electronic. You could go
for sure.
EDM.
For sure.
It's you have crates for all of it.
Everything. I really like care about music. So I understand, respect, and I treat it like it's an extension of me. Like every piece of music means something to me. Like I said, whether good or bad, like I might look at something that's bad and still try to find what was the reason that it was made and why does it not resonate with me the way that it should. And so that I can become one who can still look at it and go, okay, I respect it.
If you were doing an EDM or like Rosenberg said, electronic or whatever, how long could you play?
Hours. You can't really travel Europe if you're not willing to play what they hear in Europe. You can't play in Ibiza if you don't know what's hot in Ibiza. Like
that was such a low key stunt, by the way. Sife. He didn't even mean it that way.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No.
You can't play in Ibiza, Sife, if you don't.
Nah, you can't play in places where that music resonates a certain way if you don't know the music. Like you're gonna get laughed out of town.
How do you get all that music then?
I study and I listen and I chase.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Like I could do, like I got a little of everything. You know what I mean?
A lot of everything. Pause.
Clark, I think that's a reach. I don't think a little of everything.
I said you got to have a lot of everything. So that's a pause.
A lot of everything.
Pause again.
Your commitment is unmatched.
It was our game. Pause.
Wait, so Sife, what were you saying?
I never would want to be booked for an EDM party where it was just that. But if I had to play it if I'm DJing a corporate event or there's a lot of white people, like I just did Nashville a couple weeks ago, and I did like 45 minutes of like house EDM within my hip hop and also other stuff. I played country music also. You know what I mean? Like they went crazy for the country music. But I couldn't do a whole 4-hour set.
You think you could do a 4-hour country set?
Easily.
Well,
one of the best songs ever made is Jolene.
Well, that's unquestionable. Absolutely.
Yeah, Jolene is fire.
Right.
Jolene's unarguable.
It's a bunch of fire country.
Right? Yeah. Four hours is a lot, bro.
Okay, think about this. I'm Caribbean.
That's a cheat code.
Yeah. Right. But before there was a bunch of, you know, stations that played our music in the Caribbean, there were stations that played country music all day.
Yeah.
So think about this, Sife. You play a lot of reggae. Like, there's a bunch of reggae songs that are made that are old country records just made over.
Oh, facts.
Because when you facts. Go to a... If you
Even
go
the Big Daddy dance, song.
Right. If you go to a dance hall... party in Jamaica, in actual Jamaica.
I've seen that.
Hear country records.
Yeah, I've seen country records play in Jamaica, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? They're like,
and they pop.
Love ballads. They love ballads.
It's not regular. They pop off. If you think about it, one of our best writers that is black is Babyface, and if you listen to the songs he write, you'll realize he wrote country songs.
He's Southern, like Southern
country. His songs like.
Just the music. If the music was changed,
cry, I'm not gonna win. That's a country record.
Right, right.
I love playing the game with, like, we had Sean Paul at the station recently, like asking Sean Paul which country records rang off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what makes the Kenny Rogers Wyclef thing one of my favorite things that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that he was actually able to pull off the dub plate was mm-hmm. pretty amazing. So, okay, we know now which parties you can play if you're asked. If you could choose, though, any gig, there's any gig that exists, give me the where, who, what, that you'd be like, yes, this is, I'm super looking forward to this gig. I know this crowd. This is the kind of shit I get to play, that I enjoy playing the most. What would that look like?
I don't have one answer for that. It's too much. Like, I love playing Japan. I love playing London. I love playing Ibiza. I love playing everywhere. Chicago. You know what I'm saying? I love.
You go to Chicago. People. What's the thing? What about Chicago?
Everything. That's the thing, is that you can play everything there. Like, I love places where you can play everything, but there's no one set place and there's no one set vibe. I want to explode musically.
And when you play Japan, is it generally quote unquote like super hip hop, or you play super commercial shit in Japan too?
I play super hip hop clubs, but I play the way I play.
You're going to play the way you play.
You're going to hear everything in those clubs. Because if I go there and play a bunch of hip hop and everybody there is already playing hip hop, what's the difference of getting me to play there?
Yeah.
The difference is I'm going to play a bunch of shit y'all don't play in clubs that you probably don't believe you can play in clubs that are going to ring off.
That's definitely a skill set I learned from you and a couple other guys, which I would call, you know, my one older generation of. It's
I'm too old a generation.
Yeah, yeah. You when you me? Think about it, you're being polite to Clark, but he really is. When you think about it, when he started,
Riz is my OG. So you're above Riz, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, like even like two generations, like before, like I'm from the 70s.
Yeah,
I'm
but the
70s. But the I was funny thing is though, in the early 80s.
So what's confusing about you is because you've lasted so long, it's hard to pick where the generation would be for me. You know what I mean? I know you from radio and then producing. So you were playing even before that.
Yeah.
But like, I learned from you guys that it's not what you play, especially as a New York hip hop DJ, which is what we are at the core. Mm-mm. We can play anything. No, mm-mm. That's not what you
I'm
are.
I'm a DJ at the core.
DJ at the core, not a hip hop
right.
DJ.
Right. Not a hip hop DJ. I'm a DJ at the core.
There's a difference?
Yeah, you can't. I'm not put in a box. Like, if rap music went away,
yeah,
and no one wanted to hear it anymore, I would last for another 50 years.
Would you say hip hop blew up the DJ genre? What do you call it? DJ life essence? Hip hop definitely expanded.
The style of hip hop DJing blew up a certain way, but
yeah,
it was DJs already.
Yeah, of course it was DJs. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But the style, cutting and scratching, blew up what would live in our culture.
Yeah.
That style is what lives in hip-hop.
I firmly believe that Clark is correct. If hip-hop disappeared tomorrow, he'd be straight.
Yeah, DJ-wise, okay. Yes.
No, and DJ-wise.
Yeah, I play everywhere and shit. Respectfully, like 80% of the gigs that I get, they wouldn't care if I played hip hop or if I played rap music or not, because I know how to get around everything.
So you just said something about this, playing the songs that people don't think you could play, but not only would you play them,
I was saying,
but they were. Can you give us a couple examples of records like that you think you play and you see other people go, oh shit, but they wouldn't think to play it in a club?
Kenny Loggins, This Is It.
I mean, it's just called good taste, Clark. That's what that is.
You can't say you've heard it in a club. But if you come to where I'm at, you've heard it.
Right, right.
My Mistake by Dionne Warwick and Marvin Gaye. I'm not Dionne Warwick. I'm Diana Ross and Marvin Gaye. Play that in a fucking club.
And would you say it's how you play it? Because that's what I was getting at. I've learned to play records that aren't normally quote-unquote club records, but I can set them up. And it makes it, you know,
it makes it work.
Yeah.
Right. But you can only do that if you care about the music. Mm. I care about the music. And most DJs, they're thinking, okay, what am I going to play to get to the next record? I'm saying, what am I going to play to get to the 10th record? The hardest part of a party for me is figuring out the first song. Like, what am I going to play first? Once I get the first song, I got 10 songs.
And how do you determine what you're going to play first? But if there's a DJ on before you, where he's going with it?
Well, my thing is, if I keep going from where he's going, then it doesn't feel different when I get on. It feels like it just kept going. So my thing is to figure out everything that he's playing, make sure I don't play anything that he played.
Yeah. That's why I like when I'm hearing a DJ, if I try to go early because I always want to hear what they're playing.
I definitely
and I try to go left, left.
Yeah. I'm just like, I really want him to be killing shit. That's the other part. I want the DJ before me to be killing shit. So when I walk in and they go, is there anything you want me to stay away from? I'm like, no, play whatever you want to play.
Yeah.
Because if you're killing shit, then you gave me the ability to go up, 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 up.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it still feels cool. But if you're not killing shit, my up, up, up might feel a waste to you.
So what about if the DJ's playing, quote unquote, the hits? When you go get for there.
It, go for
really?
It.
Really,
absolutely, because that's if that's not a challenge, what are we doing here?
So you affect that you respect the challenge of it.
I don't even look at it like a challenge because I want the craft to be amazing. So if the guy before me is amazing, I'm like yes, you know what I'm saying. That just makes me have to work, and I don't mind being put to work. That's why I don't have a problem playing with any DJ and. Like, I'm not the guy who's going, stay away from this, stay away from that, you know? I've literally never done that. Whenever a DJ says, I guess given a certain level of respect, saying, is there anything you want me to stay away from? I'm like, nah, just play. Play and have fun. Because I think so many people will put a handcuff on you. I'm just like, nah, don't handcuff, dog. Go off. Yeah. Please go off.
What DJs are out there that blow your mind with what they do?
Lil Louis Vega.
Come on.
Spinna. Lil Louis Vega, Spinna. If you had to ask me, those are the two that come to mind immediately.
Mm. What is it about them?
You can hear immediately that they're in love with the music. And that's the shit for me. I'm in love with the music. And when I hear it on another DJ, I'm just like, yes.
I saw Lil Louis Vega once when they were
these lights
when
out
they were dog. Doing. They try to bring back. They had a party like they was trying to bring back the Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a while ago, but they were bringing back the Shelter, and Lil Louis Vega was playing. It might have been at Speed. Remember, somebody bought Speed after it was Club Speed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They tried to make it the Shelter. Mm-hmm. Lil Louis Vega was playing. He had a drummer. And a keyboard player,
mm-hmm.
while he was DJing, and it mm-hmm. sounded phenomenal, bro.
Yeah, he's
he was killing it.
He's dangerous.
And what, he plays everything.
Well, he's mostly a house DJ, house and club, but he does it so well that like you, yeah, be afraid.
And wait, and what was your second one?
Spinna.
Well, Spinna, I mean, is. Spinna's knowledge base. Does anybody have the knowledge base musically that Spinna has?
Yeah.
I feel like he's so yeah. deep.
Yes.
Is that person you?
I'm one. Lil Louis Vega's one. Shit. There's plenty of dudes who have the knowledge base, the knowledge musically. Rich Medina.
Dog. Oh, Rich. Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's plenty of DJs who have them.
So what is it about Spinna then that jumps out?
You can hear the love.
Right.
Just because you got a bunch of records don't mean you can hear the love. You know what I'm saying? But when you got the records and then you can hear the love put into playing the records a certain way, like that's the other shit. You can hear it. Like, well, I can.
Sometimes I find a very tricky line for a great DJ is the one that's they're super knowledgeable, but they're too knowledgeable for their crowd. Mm. And they don't realize it.
Right.
So they think they just hit an oh shit moment.
Yeah.
That might have exactly if they were at the if they were at the fucking Monday night joints, the all 45 party where everyone in there's a DJ, yes, mm-hmm. the whole room would love it. Right. But you're at a club now, and that's right. not who you're playing for.
Right.
And so that's a blurry line that I think the greats know what really triggers emotions in the audience versus just trying to, as we say in wrestling, like pop the boys, like just get the other DJs excited. You can't be playing for other DJs. I know. Pop the boys is wild. No, Clark, you can't.
Jesus Christ.
No, Clark, you couldn't even be around. Yeah. You couldn't even be around wrestling with some of the phrases that's happening out there, I realize. Pop the boys, give them the rub. There's a
lot. Oh, okay, you know. No more wrestling.
No more wrestling.
but yeah, the line is very, very hard to walk. Those moments, if you can create them and make everyone feel good about it, that's the thing. And that's what I make sure I do.
I want to talk some about your production beyond there. Like whenever we talk and whenever people talk to you in general, there's a lot of Big and Hove talk, obviously with good reason. Right. But you've been involved in so many other projects and artists. Mm-hmm. Is there any particular project or artist that you've worked with, that you worked with extensively and closely, that you don't think you get asked about enough? Like, meaning you think the project and the artist was that dope and people either don't realize your involvement or don't have enough of an appreciation for what the project or artist was?
No.
You feel like you get your due on all of it, or yeah. the artist gets their due.
Right. Yeah.
So what's at the top of the list for you when you look back at your career of songs, projects that meant to most to you production wise?
What I would say was one of the most important was Troop Spread My Wings remix, because of what happened after. You know what I'm saying? Yes, did this remix and went crazy on the radio. It did well, but then it opened up. Oh, you're going to do 30 remixes this year. Mm. You're going to do 25 the next year. And then it opened me up to, I don't want to just remix. I want to make the record before you get to the remix. So it kind of like opened my mind up a whole lot more. And then that's what gave me the belief that I could actually produce artists.
Let's give a little taste of the Spread My Wings remix. Is this it, Clark?
That's the remix?
Yeah.
Who's the rap on it, by the way?
Tito from the Fearless Four.
Yo, Sy, he's from two generations above you. Okay?
Feel my Briz. Three.
I'm Tito's son's godfather.
You're Tito's son's godfather?
Yeah.
Wow. How big was this record, Clark?
Pause. Big.
Big. So if you remember how big it was, pause?
I mean, I was a little younger, but it was definitely all over the radio.
Yeah, it was. It actually is the version they made the video to.
Yeah, that's what I was good. That's why I was asking if this is the remix, because this to me sounds like the regular version.
Right, because
that's how good it was.
That's how it was looked at, like it was the regular version, but it was the remix.
Yeah.
How did this record come to be, this all-important record come to be?
I was already friends with Merlin Bob, and he was over at Atlantic Records, and we talked enough, and he was just like, "Oh, you want to remix this record?" It's almost like he was like, "Let's see what you can do." And it was literally the second record I ever remixed. And when I came back with it, he was just like, "What the fuck?" And then the label was like, "Yeah, what the?" And then they were like, "Yeah, this will be the video version instead of, and that'll be the one we go to radio with instead of." And it worked out.
That I didn't even realize that was a remix, because I was like, that's what I was asking. I was like, this just sounds like the one I know.
Right. It is the one that most people know. No disrespect to the original version.
What's the original? Play the original.
You can't get to this without the original.
Let's see if I can find original. Clark might have killed the original.
And what year is that, Clark, you think?
What, 88? I don't know. I don't remember. Long, it was a long time ago.
Yo, it's big enough that those kids who I enjoy on YouTube, Twins the New Trend, they did a reaction video to hearing Troop Spread My Wings for the first time.
Wow.
God.
Now keep in mind other songs that they've done are like Jolene, like they do straight
classics.
My favorite
ones they did Phil Collins.
Oh, the drums
beat drops and they're like, "Whoa!"
I remix In the Air of the Night and put Little Kim on it.
That's the original?
Original. Yeah.
It doesn't hit the same way.
Yeah, it don't hit the same.
Right. Yeah, it just doesn't not quite the same.
Right.
Wait, did you do a real In the Air the Night Tonight remix?
Absolutely. For one, Kim on it.
It was like an anniversary of Phil Collins.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Can we just not go back to that stuff?
Why? Why?
I don't know. Why are we? Why are we?
I
don't like talking about your history.
Sometimes it just feels a little weird.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Syfe used to DJ for Little Kim, so he feels connected.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. Real? He doesn't remember that.
Because how could I remember that?
Oh yeah, he remembers. He goes, "Oh, you guys are doing a big show in New York. Tell Syfe to stay the fuck home."
Yeah, I got it. Let the real DJ go.
I did not do that.
What?
I did not do that.
You know how many shows you replaced me on?
No, that's not home. You. That's not on me.
Well, not like, you,
that was,
but
that no, was no. them.
Yeah, Syfe, you're just local. They like had this. To get
oh shit.
You were just local. They had to get Clark motherfucking in. All right, but Syfe, what?
Yo, chill. Yo, we doing the Apollo this week.
Oh, perfect.
Syfe, you can Syfe, come.
Syfe, we have come. A ticket. We have a ticket
we
for
have
you.
A ticket for you.
That's nice that they offered you a ticket.
I find it amazing that we could still be cool after things like that because hopefully in your heart, you know that wasn't me.
Of course.
And what's crazy is every time it happened, I would go, what's wrong with Syfe?
Nah, that's cool.
Like literally, like when Big asked me to go to London with him, what we were supposed to go after the Soul Train party, I was like, what's wrong with Cap? What's wrong with Enough? He was like, no, I need you to go. I'm like, okay, cool.
Right. Well, you got to take it as a compliment because, I mean, listen, I don't know if you know this. You're not just God's favorite DJ. Apparently, we're also Kim and Big's favorite DJ as well.
I don't know about Kim. Maybe Big, but I think Kim.
Yo, there's a video, Syfe, dig this. Unless I'm tripping, there's a video for Little Kim featuring Phil Collins In the Air Tonight, Clark Kent remix.
Hmm.
Is that right, Clark?
Hey, maybe there is.
Well, buckle up, kiddo. Let's hear what it sounds like.
That's my voice.
No, I don't.
Make no sense what's about to happen.
By the way, he doesn't now make sense, and I don't believe it.
Now you can hear me, though, right?
Yeah.
Bring that.
Keep stealing the shine, killing the rhyme. The queen stay popping the wine and
oh, yeah,
the
I remember
knock.
This.
You think they stopping my dough when I copy my show? I'm switching the flow, can't take it no more. Oh, you think I'm playing around? I'm laying you down. Album drop, new millennium, shutting it down. Better off giving it up. I'm ripping it up. Spending money, living it up. Not giving a fuck. The toast, running the coast, making niggas catch the Holy Ghost. I'm realer than most. Whoa, the trendsetter, the Brooklyn rapper. You know the routine, smoke you like a cigarette. Ain't been out in a bit, y'all still talking shit. Ain't that a bitch? What part of the game is this?
Mad cause I'm holding, drop top rolling, diamonds on my neck, pink.
Yeah, this is fire.
Yo, the production's straight fire, by
this
the way.
This is fire, bro.
Get the fuck out of my way.
I'm coming for y'all.
Clark's yelling at people.
That's right, I got something for y'all. God bless me. Look at all I've been through. It's my time. I can feel it, can't you?
I can feel it.
Woo!
Lord, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
Yo, you got Phil in the video too. They got
different video for it.
Yeah, this is crazy. What album was this?
Did they give you the like the stems for that?
To do the remix?
Yeah.
No,
or like the multi-track.
I had the reel, the multi, yeah.
The original reel or one of the original reels?
Original multi.
Wow, how crazy was that? Listen to that, bro.
That's how I pulled all the drums off.
Yeah, like, and the guitars and shit. Like, right. I never heard, like.
So I pulled the drums off and then used the same drums to replay the drums differently.
Yeah. Bro, I used to love when you get the reels of original shit. Like, hear how, like, break it down.
Mm-hmm.
I could sit in the studio for hours just muting tracks and listening. That shit used to be fire. But to have that, damn.
You, let's see. So then after, what was the, do you remember the next big one? You said Troop opened the door.
Yeah.
And what year is this? Like 89?
I think so. I can't remember off the top of my head.
88, 89?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. I mean, listen, you can hear in the sonics of it how many generations you've been through, because it's very late 80s R&B vibes.
Record went number one.
That record went number one R&B?
Yeah.
A record we talked about when we, the interview that never came out, was the, what's the one with Hove on it? Was it the Boys? What was that group?
Not me.
What R&B did you do? You did a record that Jay was featured on, an R&B record?
Yeah, every record that I put him on came out.
What are you thinking of, Syfe?
It's an Atlantic R&B group.
Rude Boys.
Had a Clark. Rude Boys, that's Rude Boys, it.
Yeah.
Rude
that Boys. Came out.
No, I'm saying the interview that we did where we talked about it.
Yeah, that didn't come out.
Mr. C used to play that a lot.
Rude Boys and Jay-Z. Oh, there it is. My Kind of Girl remix.
My Kind of Girl. Yeah. That's it. My Kind of Girl.
This is a little Clark Kent action here.
Why are we doing this right now? Inside the mix, nice and easy. That's inside not me. The mix,
are you nice sure? That's not you me. Sure that's not you?
No, that's you. With your Panamanian Caribbean accent.
Put it in.
Somewhere there's a reference track where he was like, yo, say it like this. I gotta put this in my phone.
Yo, this is crazy. And by the way, you can hear in just that little 3-year window or so, like, you can hear how the sounds have evolved. Like, this is now a very early 90s R&B sounding joint. Did this record do anything?
Oh, yeah.
Who were the Rude Boys?
They were Jevil LaBerk's crew.
Yeah, this is so 90s vibe.
Where were they from?
Ohio.
From Ohio?
Yeah, I believe they were
called the Rude Boys.
Yeah.
Rude Boys.
No Caribbean connection, though. You put that in there. You're like, oh, do you guys know that the Rude Boy is actually a Caribbean term?
That's actually the reason why I put that sound in it.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
So where's Jay in this song?
What do you mean?
Like, this is you trying to convince him to be a rapper, right?
Yeah, but I just was like, I'm going to put you on every remix I do.
And he would hear himself on the radio?
Yeah.
Because there was always, you always talk about there was a tug of war of trying to get him to do this seriously.
Tug of war was over at that point. It was, while we're doing this, every remix I do, I'm just going to put you on. People are going to hear about you. Yeah.
Got it.
Wait, so what other ones were there? I promise we won't play all of them, but I do want to tell me the other ones.
I don't know. SWV, You're the One for Me.
Oh, yeah, you did that too. With
Jay's on that?
Yeah. He's on the remix with Smooth and Trigger, right?
No, no, no. He's on. I did a version with him by himself that they might have moved Smooth in, that they might have put him on, that they might have moved and put him on.
Is the one? It's not the. Oh, is the one with Jay-Z, Lost Boys, Busta Rhymes?
No, it's just Jay-Z. Jay-Z and SWV.
What the fuck? There was a version. A
Clark Kent remix.
Okay, let me do it right. Let me do it right.
It's funny because the break that I use was Dance to the Drummer's Beat. But I pitched it so crazy that you can't even.
All right, here we go. That's interesting because I remember him on the. I remember on the remix with other people. Let's see. Do I remember this too?
There it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Remix.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
This shit's hard, Clark.
Thank you.
What are you using to make that? MPC?
SV-1200. Every single record I've ever made is the SV-1200.
Really?
Wow. Yo, why? It's so funny. You're the one. Why? You're the one was like a pretty big record. I don't. It just feels like the label tried so hard to find a remix that would like get to the level of like...
The original.
Yeah. Like they kept trying. But this one knocks.
Just SV-12?
SV-12 and S950.
What's the S950? What does the S950 do?
A sampler.
Is this the sampler?
Yeah.
But it filtered and all that. That's what people used to filter the bass lines and stuff.
Oh, is that you, Clark? Little ow? Getting your P-Rock on right there? Ow! Let's see where...
Yeah, I gotta go back to bed.
Oh. Besides this mom, come out that V2. Shopping on the all girls, cause my girl's the type that like to fight in a club, go home and make love. Though I like the way you sex something. Baby girl a wreck something. If she knew you and I were in the Lex fronting, a bottle of crew gonna cruise about to make. Yeah, they took this verse and put on the other one too.
Don't forgive if I fled the scene. Smelling like red jeans, lipstick around the collar, thinking about bed screens. In the way you holler, who you make a nigga rise like tax on the dollar. No, you ain't no trick. Can't play you like a zero. Gave you a couple of chips to spend time with the hero. To the next time, baby girl, never forget. You can't be with the one you love. Love the one you with. I'm the one.
You've done a lot of things in this rap game, Clark. I don't know if you know that.
I feel like I was just doing my best to contribute to this thing
that
kind of saved my life.
What do you mean save your life?
You know, music kept me on a good path.
Do you think you would have went on a bad path?
We from outside. I'm going to leave it just like that. I'm from outside.
The fuck is the Audio 2 top billing Clark Kent super mix?
Funny enough, the record was already big in the United States, but outside of the United States, that's the version.
Come on.
No. Please, don't.
Clark.
In Japan, that record went crazy.
This is the last one. Crazy.
It might not be.
Come on.
But it might. Don't lie to him.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah, how do we not learn? That's the point. I bet it's dope too. Stop being this way. It's gonna be pure fire, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't even remember it.
Back in the time.
Oh, I do remember this. I do remember this. This is fire.
How did this happen? Why did this happen?
Because I was at the label and they wanted to remix the song. And who did they go to remix the song? The guy who's sitting in the next office.
I just
what label is that?
Atlantic.
First Priority, wasn't it?
No, Atlantic. first priority was an Atlantic label. And the record had been ringing. It's just that they were like, let's see if we could take it up.
Yo, and it rung. It became like the big Japan.
If you go to Japan and play Audio 2's record, or just go to the club where they're playing older rap music, you'll hear that version.
That version.
Yes. Ooh. London, Germany. You'll realize that they took this verse and put it on another version too.
So if you remember this one.
No, what's this?
Horace Brown.
Horace Brown.
I never heard this. Is this on the vinyl?
Mm-hmm. Vinyl, CD, everything.
You got a nice, another nice chat out there at the beginning too. Listen.
Well, you know what's funny about this record? The original. I happened to be in Motown one day. Who was the radio guy at Motown?
Shucks, I don't remember.
At that time, was it
Benny?
No, like the street guy. Whatever. He literally the box got delivered to his office, and he opened it up, and it was just white labels. He goes, "I think this is a Horace Brown record with Jay-Z. You want it?" And I still to this day, that's the one I play. That white label. So I probably have this version on the commercial release, but I still only ever play out the white label one.
It's on the white label.
Not the original one?
It's on, on the white label of that.
The one I have is just that and a like a clean, dirty instrumental. Maybe a cappella.
What about this, Ive?
Remix. A
1-2-1-2 mic check.
1-2-1-2
What's that? Crisscross.
What is it?
Crisscross.
Oh, Crisscross. Live and Die for Hip Hop.
SP 1200 also.
Everything. Really? Every single record.
Wow. Hey, Syfe, what the fuck do you not understand about everything? It's everyone.
I thought he meant in that era.
No. Till
forever
now.
And always.
Till now.
Yes.
Wow.
Yo, so this is interesting, Clark.
SP 1200.
So you produced this record in the next Crisscross era. This is like this getting slightly older Crisscross.
Second
album, All Right, Supercat era. Did you do it with them, or was it just straight up you got sent the reels and did it?
Me and Jermaine were tight, and he was like, yo, I want you to remix the song. I was like, send it. Let's do it.
Do you remember them from that era, Crisscross?
Yeah, like I did a party when they were first coming out, where it was them, it was Das Effects, and everything at the Shelter. Like, I know them since the beginning because me and Jermaine were cool. Like, I know Jermaine since Fresh Fest.
Because you was on there.
Yo, how crazy is that?
I played Jermaine's 16th birthday party.
No, that's what I'm saying. You was on Fresh Fest with Dana Dane?
No, we did some shows that were right after Fresh Fest. It was his father, Michael Malden, is the person who put on Fresh Fest.
Wait, whose father? Jermaine.
Jermaine.
That's how Jermaine was on it at so right. young.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, he was dancing for Houdini, right?
Houdini, yeah.
Crazy.
And like, I literally know him from those days. So when he was turning 16, he had a party at 112. I DJed it for him.
At 112.
Yeah.
Wait, where was 112?
Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
I thought it's room 112 where the players dwell. I mean,
they got the name from that club.
From that club.
So 112 was popping in the late 80s into the 90s.
112 was a banging club.
You DJ Jermaine Dupri's 16th.
Sweet 16.
His sweet 16. My super sweet 16 with Jermaine Dupri.
And a Superman.
And Superman Clark Kent. 21.
I think it was his 16th. It was either his 16th or his 21st. I believe it was his 16th. But I used to be at his house.
Was he? I assume his dad had a pretty nice situation, considering he set up the Fresh Fest.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Jermaine had a nice life.
Yeah, he had a nice life, and he just worked super duper hard on top of it, which is an unstoppable combination.
I don't want to get that pulled away from anything. Like, he's amazing.
Do you think the perspective often discussed Jermaine Puff battle versus would be as interesting as everyone else does?
Yes. And the reason why is because I think people might not be clear on Jermaine's discography.
What part do you think they're missing? Like, I think you're right, too.
Jermaine's had a record in the top 10 every year since he started.
That's crazy.
Right. Every year.
I think that battle has to be somewhere neutral. Because I feel like in New York, Puff has a couple of secret weapons that only really worked in New York.
Yeah, nah, Puff, don't get it confused. Like, he has bombs.
Like,
I just think a surprise factor would be somebody going, Jermaine did that?
Right. I can see that for sure.
And you'll be like, but yeah. I love that. You know,
I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Right. He has, like, remember when Neo went against Brian Alexander Morgan, I think? When they did the early versions.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh shit, every time.
Yeah, they were writers, right? They were both like writers. Yeah.
Or Jonte Austin, that's who he went against. And yeah, when Jonte played a song, they were like, wait, what?
But that's writers, though. You don't know what writers write.
Yeah, but like Jermaine Dupri is a producer, and most people don't know everything that he's
made. Yeah, that's for sure. Because, yeah. But like in New York, like, all right, in New York, imagine Puff is on and he plays I'm at Uptown and Dykeman. I ate that. Like, that's a big record here where other places I don't think it might not be. So that would always be like a little secret weapon.
You know what's also a big record here? Confessions.
Mm-hmm. Confessions is huge.
True.
Yeah. He's got records to go against then.
Yeah.
But I do hear what you're saying, Syph, in terms of, does it make more sense to do it somewhere neutral?
Oh, they definitely have to be somewhere neutral, though.
I like Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
It's in Atlanta or...
nah, it can't be Atlanta or New York. It's almost like it has to be...
Scranton. Texas.
Or it has to be both. It has to be both so they can get a fair shot.
Who did you work closer with, or was it the exact same level, Puff or Dame?
Puff or who?
Dame.
Dash?
That's right.
I would say closer with Dame because, like, I walked him into it and then, you know, signed his artist and all of that. With Puff, it was more, it's like I was one of his A&R guys without being in his A&R guy. Just like, yeah. I was the guy he called for all the parties, and I would be, he'd come to the studio, and then he's playing stuff. He's like, what do you think? And, you know, I think he got that from Andre Harrell, because I was like that for Andre when Andre first started Uptown Records. Like, Uptown Records office was in Brooklyn. He would call me all the time. Yo, come to the office.
Uptown Records office was in Brooklyn?
Yeah, 4th Avenue.
I never knew that.
It's such a misleading name, Syph.
Why was it called Uptown?
So do you think the way that you and Dame formed your relationship, so I imagine that made the way he handled you and you guys worked together different than the way he potentially worked with other people? Like, was there all, there would seem like there's probably always a serious baseline of respect given what you did.
I guess probably. Yeah.
I mean, Dame wasn't going to wild out on you like he did DJ Clue in the movie.
Well, what I'm saying. I never gave him a reason to.
So it's possible that
I don't know what he might have tried or not tried. I just know that I never gave him a reason to.
Are there through lines between Dame and Puff? Like, is there a certain Harlem sensibility, work ethic, craziness that you see in both of them?
I think maybe the level of what could have been called crazy at that time. They both had the ability to wild out. I've seen it, like, firsthand, looking at watching Puff wild out and firsthand watching Dame wild out. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
These guys go wild the fuck out.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a Harlem sensibility.
That's what I'm saying. It's different than a Brooklyn wild out.
Yeah, it is different, though, right?
Very different. Yeah.
Yeah, what is the difference? How would you guys pinpoint the difference between the Brooklyn Wild Out and the Harlem?
I think it's a lot of almost it's almost like a, do you know who the fuck are you talking to? Type shit when it comes to them. know, that wasn't necessarily the way it would happen in Brooklyn. It probably wouldn't be as much screaming from a Brooklyn yeah. point of view.
What?
Or trying to embarrass from a Brooklyn point of view.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the big sort of production of it.
Right.
Clark, let's just jump ahead a little bit to the 90s. Oh, look, here's a random video. When I searched Clark Kent remix on YouTube to see what random shit comes up. A random video from 10 years ago, Clark Kent DJ takeover at Hot 97 popped up as well in our nasty DJ booth. Clark, what are some 90s? Can you give me a couple of random 90s hitters that I might not think of off top of my head?
What do you mean, songs?
Yeah, like just, you know.
I don't know.
All right, fine. You want to play hard to get? All right.
No,
I'm going to go on Spotify and see what comes up when I do it.
Hard to get by High Five.
Hard to get by High Five?
Yeah.
Hard to get High Five. There it is.
You know that. Clark Kent.
I do?
Yeah. It's the Clark Kent version.
Oh, but it's the Clark Kent version. You're sure I know this?
The song? Original?
You know
yeah.
the song. You know the original.
Featuring Ski and Jay-Z?
Yes.
He doesn't want to hear these old songs.
Oh, this is from New Jack City, but this is the remix. Is that correct?
I don't know if Hard to Get was that New Jack City. I don't know.
I think it was on the soundtrack, but it wasn't made for it.
Right, right. Okay. By the way, this is the extended mix. Let's jump ahead. So when did you take the jump to like a straight up hip hop record after all these R&B remixes?
I don't know. I produced on Reasonable Doubt. I produced on Junior Mafia. I produced on Mariah Carey. I produced on Biggie. I produced Smack Hills. I produced records. I produced DOS FX, you know. Records. I did that.
Yo, he did the Fugitive remix.
I ran like a rebel in 85. Cops dropped the catch because all of them said I beat up these other men who were bigger than me. Was it because I'm black and they were W-H-I-T-E? I was walking down the block. I see these stupid bikers standing by the biker shop. They seen it was.
Do you ever listen to your old records?
Mm-mm.
You don't play them?
Yeah, do you play them?
only record that I play for my past is Players Anthem.
If you're doing a 90s party, you don't play any of these remixes.
Or Spread My Wings. Spread My Wings, Players Anthem are the only songs that I can muster up to play.
Well, you didn't do Nod Factor, right?
No, I did.
You did Move Your Body. Yeah, they put Nod Factor on here. Amateur Hour. I apologize. Wait, you did this, though?
Yeah.
Yo, Clark. This shit here is so slept on site. You remember what this is?
You know what's crazy? Dre wanted that beat for Eminem.
Really? Oh. Play it?
Oh my God. Yo, the way you change it, the way it starts, yo, this is, I didn't realize you did this. I listen to this more often than the average human being. So I'm guessing average is relatively low. Here we go. Wait for it.
I never freestyle for free without charging niggas a fee. It'll cost you a brain cell just to cipher with me. I'm the type of MC, the box for the glory. I don't give a fuck.
Why didn't you give it to Dre?
Yeah, so what happened?
Because I already had given it to Cannabis.
And I gave your word.
Yeah, I kept my word.
Did Dre hear it after it came out, or how did he get it?
Here's what happened. I'm sitting at Georgia. Georgia's a restaurant in LA. It was a great restaurant. I'm sitting at Georgia, and at the next table is Dre and Jimmy, and they're talking about Eminem. He turns to me, he's like, "Yo, Clark, you got anything? Come to the studio later." So I went to the studio, and he was like, this is a new artist I gotta work with. And he played something for me. And I pulled out a DAT. And the first thing on the DAT was that. So I was like, yeah, but that one's gone already. And he was just like, yo, let me get that. And I was like, nah, that's already for cannabis. He was like, let me get that. And I was just like, I can't. I already gave it to cannabis.
Damn.
Yo, Eminem would murder that record. Yeah,
the thing is, I don't feel bad that I didn't, but I do always think, what if?
I know.
Yeah, your accountant thinks
you couldn't have asked cannabis.
Nah, because cannabis damn near was living in my house at that point. We were together all the time.
Yeah.
There's no
you were super involved with the cannabis project?
I was super involved with cannabis before it really, really jumped off. And then, you know, he signed to Wyclef, and Wyclef went the way that it went with Wyclef. But like, I think I did 3 songs on his album, maybe. But that's because he used to be at my crib all the time.
We had cannabis on the show a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He was great. He was like honest and vulnerable and mm-hmm. really a great conversation. I brought it up on the air to this day because on the morning show, we were talking about the anniversary of the Drake Meek thing and about how sometimes the way people view what happens in a battle, like the battle versus the war sort of conversation. You might win the battle, might not win the war. I believe that when you look back, second round knockout was exactly what it was. It was a second round knockout. Like it really was. He went crazy, and the Ripper Strikes Back was way over the top and not great, and it just didn't land in the same way at all. But LL's LL, and cannabis is cannabis.
Right.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Clark, you're amazing. Syph, I think we need to like do a second episode here, though.
Yeah, can we pause right here and then start a new one?
Then we have to. I'm sorry, Clark. Yeah. All right. So let's do one more episode with the great Clark Kent. Oh, and Syph, go fuck yourself.
Oh, okay.